This is Jay Sekulow. Major development. The World Health Organization seeking to expand its power over the United States.
Keeping you informed and engaged, now more than ever. This is Sekulow. We want to hear from you. Share and post your comments or call 1-800-684-3110. And now your host, Jay Sekulow.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to the broadcast. This is a really interesting one. It's something that our team at ACLJ Action has been working on for a couple of weeks. In fact, let me take it a step further. We've been looking at this for almost a month. You've seen it already in the news on some of the conservative news sites, but we want to do verifications and checks. But here's what you've got. The World Health Organization is putting together a plan that would greatly expand its authority, and basically the Biden administration appears to be on the threshold of ceding sovereignty control, not of the country, but of our health situation. Because under this policy, the World Health Organization can identify something as a health risk, and then they, as an international body, have jurisdiction over member states, and the United States is a member state. So, Jordan, this is a brand new development, something we're very concerned about.
I mean, one of the issues the World Health Organization could utilize its resources, provide it to a country to surveil its own people. This all being done from the WHO, which the Trump administration said no to. We don't want to be a part of this. And the Biden administration is back in. So we saw all of you talking about this in the chats, and we wanted to get on it, but we wanted to make sure we were accurate. So our team from ACLJ Action put the memo together for radio today. And that ACLJ Action team has a lot of experience inside the executive branch of government, so they can read between the lines, understanding the interplays here. Is it a treaty? How far does it go? But again, the surveillance measures and the ability to declare a crisis in another country, so broad that the World Health Organization could declare a crisis over misinformation or disinformation. That's part of this too, in the World Health Organization, in these potential amendments that the U.S. is seeking to be a part of. The Biden administration wants to join.
So it's interesting here. You said something. I'm going to go to C.C. Howell, who does a lot of work for us on international law and at the U.N. The Trump administration had pulled out. First of all, let's explain, what is the World Health Organization?
Sure.
And how many member states?
The World Health Organization is a specialized agency within the United Nations, but it's autonomous, so it governs itself. And almost every single, I think it has 194 member states, so I think there's just maybe one member that's not a member state, member of the UN that's not a member state of the World Health Organization. Trump did pull us out, and then one of Biden's first acts when he became president was to put us right back in and under that scheme of the World Health Organization.
And then by putting us back in and under this analysis and this policies that the World Health Organization is trying to do, we would be ceding authority, it looks like, or at least granting authority to the World Health Organization that they could declare something in the United States a health crisis and start taking action, including surveillance.
That's what I was about to say. It allows the director general of the WHO, who is basically owned by, there's so much evidence about China's influence in the WHO. It's why the Trump administration left and said, this is corrupt. This is controlled by the CCP, the Chinese Communist Party. We're not going to be a part of this because they're not treating them the same way, of course, where a lot of these pandemics emanate from, as they are the rest of the world. But imagine a World Health Organization that can declare emergency in America over our political system. Our voting system. I mean, literally, it's written that broadly, Dad, to where it goes, you know, it's kind of how we talk about abortion with health being too broad. Here, health also way too broad when you say health, because you can start tracking people over many different things. So we wanted to be clear when we went to you on this issue. We know you've been waiting to go to it. We had all the information. We've got that because of our team at ACLJ Action, who brings that executive branch experience, that rulemaking experience. And I encourage you to support ACLJ Action at acljaction.org.
Here's the memo. We put on the screen too. This is what our team put together. I want you to share this feed with your friends, folks. We're going to give you an in-depth analysis on this. Rick Grenell's with us today, as is former Secretary of State Mike Pompeo. Harry Hutchinson will be joining us later. Than Bennett in the next segment. We've got a lot to discuss on this. Support the work of the ACLJ, acljaction.org, or acljaction.org, either one. We encourage you to do both. You see the work. Back with more. Hey, welcome back to the broadcast, everyone. We'll take your calls on this too at 1-800-684-3110. We have Dan Bennett joining us as well, right? All right, so let me tell you what we've got. The World Health Organization and the Biden administration is looking like they want to expand the support of the World Health Organization, which we think puts the rights and freedoms of Americans at risk. We're going to go through some of these items. The president has endorsed an amendment to a treaty that would grant sweeping powers to the World Health Organization while the WHO separately pursues its own reforms. The Biden administration is giving the WHO authority to infringe on, and this is our view and our analysis of this, folks, basic liberties in the name of public health. If the World Health Organization determines something's a violation of public health, they can implement systems. That system includes surveillance. I mean, it is, you talk about a police state, they grant, this what is allowing the WHO to offer financial support to strengthen surveillance measures on domestic populations. Now, you got to ask yourself, Jordan, who is that money going to? We know that a lot of it comes from the United States. I'll tell you that in a moment.
Right. A lot of it comes from the United States, but guess who it'll go to? Bad actors. You know, I've been working with our country representative in Zimbabwe, and he said, you know, one of the worst things that's happened out of the pandemic in Zimbabwe, they get a lot of world health money in countries like that that have a lot of issues with many diseases, is that a already authoritarian government has used COVID because they use the examples of the United States to say, well, if they can lock down this in the United States, we can make everything a lockdown in Zimbabwe and call everybody who, you know, takes to the streets on any issues, if they don't have a mask on, they're a terrorist because they could spread the disease. And so, again, I see how, one, this has a huge impact on the United States, giving away our sovereignty, allowing the World Health Organization to declare emergencies in our own country. Not us. First of all, we're a country. We can declare our own emergencies. We're totally competent to do that. We don't need the World Health Organization saying we have systemic this or systemic this, or, you know, yesterday with what happened with our discussion on guns. They could use issues like that, the Second Amendment. I mean, so there's a lot of ways when you write health, and Dad, we're experts in that word, health.
Yep.
There's a lot of ways this can be used.
No,
one, taking U.S. dollars and using it for authoritarian regimes to continue to oppress their people. And two, putting the U.S. on a path where we've given up sovereignty and more on a path to where authoritarian regimes have too much control over the United States. We already have too much control over the United States by our economic relationship with China.
You know, it's interesting because CC looked at the numbers, the percentage of the budget of the WHO. There's how many member countries?
So there's 194 member countries. So, and each one of them should contribute to the budget,
right,
of the WHO.
And what does the U.S.
And
contribute?
The U.S. pays 20% of the budget of the WHO.
I mean, think about this for a moment. We're funding one-fifth of the WHO budget, and now we're going to cede to them. We're giving them the money to cede to them authority over our policies. Dan Bennett is our Director of Governmental Affairs in Washington, D.C. This is an interesting thing, Dan, because what it's showing is that the ACLJ, and especially the Government Affairs Office, your office, our international lawyers, work that CC does, the ACLJ action that we just put together, the 501c4, in the last couple of months, and our European Center for Law and Justice, which has the UN status as a non-governmental organization, all three of the entities working together here to not let this happen.
Jay, it's really a perfect example of why the addition of ACLJ action gives us a trifecta to hit this from every angle. I mean, look, there's going to be a component here in Washington, D.C., specifically on the sovereignty point that you've been talking about with Jordan, where the United States Senate is going to have to stand up and say, we want a say in this. Look, there's going to be another health emergency one day, Jay. And when that day comes, U.S. sovereignty is going to be one of the main factors in our ability to effectively combat it. And that sovereignty, Jay, that's what's at stake here. So that's the component for the ACLJ. The ACLJ action is going to be able to push the specific recommendations that are needed to stop that from happening. And then the angle that CeCe's talking about, our accreditation with the United Nations, Jay, I really do believe over the course of the next 2 years, as this pushes towards an effort to enact a treaty, I think there's going to be multiple efforts. We're going to have to submit written submissions, and we're going to have to intervene orally. And Jay, I'm going to tell you, I think it's going to take all three of those efforts to win this over the long run.
Yeah. And that's with the UN, the United Nations, you know, yes, we don't agree that There's a lot going on there, but it's the world stage that we have to interact on, and we are there. And if the other side is going to have their say, we for sure are going to have our say too, and not let it be go unanswered or untalked about that this is wrong, and we're going to stand up for that.
Yeah, I mean, listen, we don't agree with the UN on a lot of policies, very few. But you got to be there to fight back. We got an interesting call coming in. Diana on line two from Wyoming. We're taking your calls too at 1-800-684-3110. Diana, go ahead.
Yes, I just wanted to let everybody know that Representative Thomas Massey and Representative Chip Roy are presenting a bill. It's H.R. 419. That is no taxpayer funding for the WHO. And I want to encourage everybody to call and email your congresspeople and even go outside your state. I've contacted my state congresspeople, and yeah, I've also contacted other senators.
Fan, you want to tell us about that legislation?
Yeah, sure. Diana actually described it accurately. It would say that no funds from the United States can go to fund the World Health Organization. Now, I would say, Jay, probably that bill's unnecessary if we're not a member of the World Health Organization in the first place, which President Trump had taken us out of. Two quick things I'll note, Jay. There's also a letter from the United States Senate and a letter from the United States House that essentially says we ought to get out of the WHO altogether. But if we're going to be a part of it, we sure better not cede sovereignty. So I think you got a lot more coming down the pike from the U.S. Congress on this one, Jay.
Jordan, one of the things that this expanded approach with the WHO would grant the director general of the WHO sweeping authority to notify other state parties when considering, quote, potential or actual public health emergencies of international concern, vaguely worded enough to potentially declare climate change as a public health concern, allowing then surveillance and other actions.
Yeah, I mean, it is very vaguely worded. I mean, so climate change to issues of racial unrest. I mean, seriously, this is how broad, because when you say health, you can almost throw anything into that. Driving cars, our transportation system in the U.S. You know, we talk a lot, especially at ACLJ Action, about American energy independence and being able to drill again in the United States, being able to frack again in the United States. You join a treaty like this that's so, they're so one-sided on climate change at the World Health Organization, which, by the way, I agree with everybody, we have no business being a part of right now. They need to really, to get the United States on board, they should have to make serious reforms there, like, for instance, not being controlled by the world's number one polluter, not being controlled by the world's number one spreader of pandemic-like diseases, that's China, and the world's number one source of mis and disinformation, which is China. But you know, it's also creates, and we talked about this a lot, the World Health Organization's own disinformation board, where they can then go in and say, this is disinformation about this pandemic. And you know what they're going to use that for, Dad? They're going to use that I don't think it's about vaccines so much. I think it's about when we say it's the Chinese fault for COVID being released. And that will be mis and disinformation that will then silence us across the country. And that's why we have to take this very seriously, because our adversaries love the WHO. And we've seen how they can, as we've seen in the past with government agencies, weaponize it to their advantage.
Oh, we're giving them 20% of their budget. And then we're going to let them expand their powers, including surveillance powers, to determine carbon footprints of individuals. I mean, they can declare that a world health crisis. Now, what's interesting here is, and I think it's important to understand, I said we've got three entities involved in this. ACLJ, American Center for Law and Justice, ACLJ Action, and our European Center for Law and Justice. But the previous administration opted out of it because the president, Sisi, has the authority to opt out.
Absolutely. And the Trump administration always put the United States first. And his statement was, you know, we're giving them 20% of their budget and they're doing nothing. And we're much better to keep that money here and make our own decisions. And I know Jordan said, you know, our adversaries love the WHO, which is true. But one of the very first acts that President Biden did was rejoin the WHO. So not only do our adversaries love it, but our current administration loves the WHO and apparently wants to give over, power
soccer
that
power
we should keep in the United States.
So, Than, what's the time frame on all this? How is this moving?
Well, they're considering the amendments to the international health regulations this week in Geneva, Jay. The long-run goal here is a treaty that's 2 years down the road. But I look, we got to say this. When we became a party to this, the one that they're considering this week, Jay, we held out a reservation that said none of this is going to apply to the United States unless it complies with our Constitution and our regulations. Guess what, Jay? None of this complies with our Constitution or our regulations. So as they consider this week, that's the point the Biden administration should be addressing. Instead, they're actually pushing this progress forward. So look, on that front, Jay, it could actually move fairly quickly.
All right. We are going to be joined by former Secretary of State and our Senior Counsel for Global Affairs, Mike Pompeo, in the next segment of the broadcast, talking about China's role in the WHO. He would know. He was the CIA director and our Secretary of State. And Jordan, this is a good reminder of the way that we are expanding the reach of the ACLJ continually.
That's right. And ACLJ Action is a C4. It's a separate organization funded by members. It's a minimum $25 donation. You can make that at acljaction.org. You're already seeing the fruits of our work that we're able to produce. We have no limits on advocacy or lobbying to fight for you. acljaction.org. Donate today. Become a member.
The broadcast, everyone. We're joined by our Senior Counsel for Global Affairs and the former Secretary of State, Mike Pompeo. And Secretary Pompeo, our ACLJ Action has been working on the situation with the World Health Organization, expanding its role. Of course, the Biden administration put us right back into the WHO after your administration took us out of it. And it would give great authority to the Director General of the World Health Organization. That's got us very, very concerned, especially identifying anything as a health concern. And we know how broad that can be interpreted. And, of course, China has a huge role in that. I wanted to get your sense of that issue first with this expanding WHO matter.
Well, my judgment was, and my recommendation to the president, which he ultimately adopted, it was a pretty good consensus on our team, was that the World Health Organization is not looking out for its actual mission, that is the prevention of pandemics, but rather had become a political tool. We saw the current leader, Dr. Tedros, become part of the Chinese Communist Party's propaganda campaign. So we wanted not to try to reform the WHO, which has been done, Jay. For decades, we've tried to reform the World Health Organization. We concluded you couldn't trust them, you couldn't rely on them, and they couldn't perform their central function. And so to give more power to them, to give more capacity to make decisions about what's the pandemic? What's the response? What should we shut down? Is something that is deeply, deeply inconsistent with America's interests. The Biden administration decided to rejoin the WHO thinking they could fix it. I bet they fail at that. And to the extent they sign up for a deal that gives them more power and more authority and denies American sovereignty and reduces freedom for American leaders, that's something that's inconsistent with our Constitution and ought not to be done.
Yeah, we're working on it aggressively. Jordan, go ahead.
You know, Secretary Blinken today, the Secretary of State, in your former position, gave a speech on China. And he basically outlined this, hey, we're not in a Cold War with China. We're not in that kind of competition with China, really playing down. But on the other hand, we had our president, President Biden, in the region in South Korea and talk about backing Taiwan with military action, with U.S. military action. So I think that, again, who are we supposed to believe? Is it Secretary Blinken who says, you know, things are chill with China, we're trying to calm things down, it's not a second Cold War? Or do we believe President Biden, who sounds like he's putting us on a path to war?
Jordan, there's a couple points there. First, if you're confused, Jay, if you're confused, you should know I'm confused. That means that the whole world doesn't understand what American policy is with respect to the Chinese Communist Party. That is bad. That means our friends won't trust us and our adversaries won't fear us when it comes to dealings with China. And this will give Xi Jinping and his autocratic dictatorship the capacity to do an awful lot of harm to the United States. So I'm confused, Jordan. I can't answer your question precisely with who to believe there. But second, I've now had a chance to read most of the statements that Blinken put out this morning. You should contrast it with what his predecessor, me, said at the Nixon Library just a couple years back. I think what the Biden administration misses is they don't reflect, they don't acknowledge the profound negative manifestations of the CCP's malign and evil actions. They they misunderstand it. They think we can go along and get along. It sounded like something that Americans would have said in the 70s, 80s, or 90s. This is not your grandpa's Chinese Communist Party. These folks mean business for the United States, and we have to stand up to them. We can't simply talk about out-competing them. We have to make sure that we confront them in the very same way that we did the evil nature of the Soviet Union.
I want to take a call, Secretary Pompeo. This is a great call coming in from California from Tim. Tim, go ahead. You're on the air.
Thank you for taking my call. Why does the Biden administration want to take the United States and make it look more like China? Because that's what China is doing, the exact same thing that the World Health Organization wants to do to the United States.
Well, listen, I am concerned about this. And Secretary Pompeo, I remember this when you first joined us. And the first conversation we had in these studios when you were down here with us, we talked about the threat of China and how significant it is. I don't think we could overstate that. I mean, it is a real threat to the United States.
A multi-pronged intentional threat from a nation state with 1.4 billion people, a powerful military, and an enormous economy. No, they have both the intention and the capability to undermine our Western way of life. And so that's why Tim's call makes so much sense to me. We have to confront them economically. We can't let them steal millions and millions of jobs from the United States. All of the hard work, we call it intellectual property. This is really the hard work, the sweat of Americans who were creative and created property that was valued. The Chinese just stole it. They then foisted a virus on us that's now killed over a million Americans. They're holding over a million of their religious minority in the West in something that looks and feels much like concentration camps. This is the nature of this regime, to think that you're going to just find places where you can cooperate and get along and you can kick this can down the road for another decade is inconsistent with the challenge that the CCP presents to us today.
Jordan?
You know, Secretary Pompeo, something I thought was most troubling in Secretary Blinken's remarks was that he brought up the genocide in China, ongoing of their Muslim population in Western China. He brought up their human rights abuses. But then he said this, I want to read the quote. He raises those issues, quote, not to stand against China, but to stand up for peace, security, and dignity. I mean, to me, that is such empty words. When you call out a country, which he initially does, for engaging in a genocide against a particular class of people, and as a human rights abusive country, but then says, I'm not doing this to call out China. I'm doing it for the greater world. I mean, to me, it just shows this two-sided China approach that doesn't make any sense to any American. And as you said, makes no sense to our allies either.
Jordan, this has frankly been bipartisan policy since the 70s. So this isn't political. That kind of strategically inconsistent statement, that kind of State Department gobbledygook, doesn't get it right. It doesn't help the American people understand the threat so that we can begin to mobilize against it. I remember too, Jordan, when I closed down the Chinese consulate in Houston, Texas, they were conducting the largest spying operations I think ever conducted against the United States from that very facility. This was at scale. It tells you that this challenge is real. It's upon us. And to make a statement, this sort of like you'd hear from the UN Human Rights Commission at the United Nations is not consistent with how America needs to confront China. This is real, Jordan. It impacts ordinary Americans all across the country, from my home state in Kansas to where you all are in Tennessee. This is real and serious. And to sort of flip the storyline says, well, it's bad, but, you know, we're not going to do anything about it. It doesn't help our friends. As we're trying to build out alliances in the region, they're going to say America's not serious, and they're not going to accept any risk if they don't think America will lead and America is serious.
That's former Secretary of State Mike Pompeo, our senior counsel for global affairs. As always, Mike, thanks for being with us. We appreciate it. Look forward to having you on again next week. Appreciate your insights. Folks, let me tell you something. You are seeing the ACLJ in action in full scale. All of our entities, the American Center for Law and Justice, the C3, the legal organizations, Government Affairs Office working on this, the European Center for Law and Justice that has the NGO status, and ACLJ Action, which has put together the plan of attack and got the details of what we're actually looking at. Jordan, it's unprecedented in our history that we have this capability. It's because of people supporting the work of these organizations that makes all the difference.
ACLJ Action is a standalone organization. So we have unlimited ability to do work, but we have to have resources to do it. Support our work at acljaction.org. $25 to join as a member. You can give more. There's no limit to what you can give. The minimum is $25 to join as a member of ACLJ Action. All the info on the WHO today was produced by our ACLJ Action team. We'll be right back. Second half hour, Seculo coming up.
For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at ACLJ.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, ACLJ.org.
Keeping you informed and engaged, now more than ever. This is Seculo. And now your host, Jay Seculo.
Hey everybody, welcome to the broadcast. We've got a breaking development. I say breaking, it's been around for a couple of weeks, but it's breaking for us because we have put in a lot of time to come to you with this situation involving the World Health Organization. There's been a lot of stuff on social media. There's been a lot of stuff posted. Jordan, I think it's important. We've got an ACLJ action memo that we've done internally that shows that we are ceding authority to the Director General of the WHO. The Trump administration, and as Mike Pompeo just said, took us out of that. It was Mike Pompeo's recommendation to the president, which the president then acted upon. And this authority that they would get would include surveillance capabilities to determine compliance with what they call health concerns, which is as broad as anything you can imagine. This is huge.
Yeah, they could declare a crisis under these current amendments being proposed and supported by the Biden administration in the United States. You'd think, well, that would be limited to health crises. No, it wouldn't. Climate change would be included here. Second Amendment issues could be included here. Political speech could be included here. Disinformation, that's included here specifically, disinformation. The idea, again, that we would be giving up our sovereignty and allowing the Director General of the World Health Organization to declare, for instance, that we have a systematic gun problem in the U.S. or we have a systematic a racial problem in the U.S. or our politics is a problem in the U.S. or free speech is too broad in the United States of America. That's how broadly it's written. But, Dad, it actually gets worse. This came from our team from ACLJ Action, who put together this memo, Bob Burkett. He's continuing to update it. And Bob wrote in, he said, as part of this plan, the World Health Organization has contracted Deutsche Telekom. I want to listen, folks, listen to this for because you didn't hear this in the first half hour. As part of this plan, the World Health Organization has contracted Deutsche Telekom to develop a global vaccine passport system, which plans to link every person on the planet to a QR code. You know, everybody knows what those are, those little QR codes. Digital ID, that everyone on the planet will have a digital ID created and tracked by the World Health Organization, which is controlled, unfortunately, not by the U.S., which I still think that would be horrendous, but controlled by bad actors like China.
Yeah, no, this is why we are.
ID? You want your QR code? You want your ID being tracked by the Chinese Communist Party? That's what they're on the path to do.
And that's why the American Center for Law and Justice.
With the Germans, of course, to do it.
Yeah, they got right. Exactly. Say that again, because I talked over you and didn't mean to.
Yeah, they're partnering with a German telecom company to do this. So I think that when you put these bad actors together, some history together, maybe these aren't the right actors. China. Yeah. And Germany to start tracking human beings.
Yeah, not a good combination. I will also say this. Your American Center for Law and Justice, your ACLJ Action, your European Center for Law and Justice, all working together to fight this. We are fighting it in Washington. We are fighting it at the United Nations. We are fighting it anywhere it comes up. And that's because we have the capability to do it. That includes oral and written interventions at the UN. Because our European Center for Law and Justice, based in Strasbourg, France, which is where the, a lot of the EU institutions are, has NGO, non-governmental organization status. That doesn't happen without your support, so I want to thank you for that. But I'm telling you, folks, this is a... We waited for this. I think, Jordan, it's important to say this. We only got a minute left. Yeah. We waited to break this because we were concerned that there was some misinformation out there. We wanted to get it right.
Yeah, we wanted to make sure because we were hearing from people on social media, in the chats, on this broadcast, please talk about this, please do it. And what we were saying was earlier, we're doing the research. Now we're starting to share that research with you. And that work is ongoing, but we want you to have the facts. We want you to have the exact information. We don't want you to use any information that's going to be, you know, disinformation or misinformation. Though I think that what we will see, unfortunately, is a lot of social media content providers try and come after this very hard. We're a big organization. We're able to fight back against that. But that's why you want to be as precise as possible, because the other side has already got this on their radar. So when we say that they've got this tracking system they want to implement, you have to be very precise. That's why I said it's Deutsche Telekom. This is how they want to do it, through a QR code. It's so you know the facts. Support our work, ACLJ.org. We'll be right back.
Hey, welcome back to the broadcast, everyone. We're now joined by our senior advisor on foreign policy, international policy, Rick Rennell, former director of national intelligence, former ambassador to Germany. Rick, we were just talking about this, and we've got a lot to talk about here. The World Health Organization trying to expand its reach, which is troubling to say the least, and they use the word health. Health can become anything, which gives them surveillance powers. They're contracting with a German telecom company to figure out this tracking mechanisms that they have. I just want to get your impression on this as someone that was our director of national intelligence, but also was the ambassador to Germany. How dangerous is this? We think it's very, very troubling.
It is very troubling, and we need to hit back right away. I spent 8 years at the UN. I know it really well. And the reality is that for other countries, this is a way to control the United States. This is a way to have an overarching global government, to do it under the auspices of the World Health Organization, to pretend like we are here from the global government community to protect your health. And then what they'll do is they'll label anybody that opposes them as someone who is callous to health issues or your neighbor's health. You don't care about your fellow man. And that's exactly what they're going to do. But the reality is, Jay, you know this, Jordan knows this, the World Health Organization is controlled by the Chinese. They have, for a very long time, placed individuals within the World Health Organization to control it. And just as a one quick side, when there are independent agencies at the UN, the jobs program, all of the jobs that go there are basically up to the director to fill, and countries maneuver to make sure that they have individuals, whether it's at the World Health Organization, UNICEF, World Food Program, all of these international bodies, countries maneuver. It's like a swamp for the international community.
Yeah, Jordan, go ahead. You got a question. I know, and want to discuss this with Rick.
You know, Rick, we've been making that connection all day, which is how the Chinese Communist Party's connection to the World Health Organization, one of the main reasons the Trump administration pulled out of the WHO. But in our report through ACLJ Action, some of our guys from the former executive branch who were going through this, because when we went public with it, we wanted to be really accurate for our audience. They were dying for info on this. We saw it all over our chats. We saw it on our social media. So we really did a deep dive. In this deep dive, we find out that part of this plan would be contracting with Deutsche Telekom to create a QR code for everyone in the world so that the WHO could track your status, whether it was your vaccine status at the time, whatever's going on at that time, they could track you. And this idea that we would give that power over to any organization is horrendous. But to one controlled by the Chinese Communist Party, who is currently engaged in a genocide and one of the worst human rights abusers in the world, makes it that much more worse.
I mean, I couldn't have said it better myself. I mean, the fact that you're having this global telecom company immediately track us and use data tracking services to understand who's following the WHO rules and who is not, is a real scary moment. This is how the bureaucrats put their teeth into the globalization efforts.
All right, I want to change focus a little bit, and that is our border. There is a report now, not just a report, there's been an indictment issued by the Biden administration's Department of Justice, Rick, which is, this is serious stuff. You've been concerned about what's going on the border. You're concerned about immigration. And this was a threat, a real threat, to assassinate former President George W. Bush.
I want to just go back very quickly on one point. I had to look it up to make sure I was correct, Jay, on our last point. Deutsche Telekom owns T-Mobile in the United States. All of T-Mobile data will immediately go into the Deutsche Telekom system to track Americans. Mm. That's the fact. So right. I just want to make that point clear. Look, on this attempt on George W. Bush, I really don't care if it was Barack Obama, Bill Clinton, or George W. Bush. The fact that the Iranians, the Iraqis, all of the terrorist groups are targeting Americans, because let's remember the current regime is targeting many Trump administration officials. The terrorists inside Iraq are still after George H.W.'s family, which includes George W. Bush and others. We have to be very clear with these terrorist organizations that we will crush them. There is no point in negotiating with them. The current Biden administration is trying to negotiate with the Iranian regime. They are trying to push the Israelis to negotiate more with the Palestinian government, which includes Hamas as part of them. The Biden administration took the Houthis off the terrorist list, which then immediately started bombing the UAE. All of these weak policies have consequences, and what the consequences are is an unsafe system for Americans.
When I see this, I realize this. You can crush ISIS as the state, and the Trump administration, President Trump, did that. I mean, crushed ISIS. There was no more ISIS as a state actor. But there are still these actors going back from wars that we have fought since 2003, like the Iraq War, who are utilizing our bad immigration system and an immigration system that doesn't raise these red flags to get inside the country. They may not be able to create a caliphate right now. So it seems like they are, and because of your work with the director, as Director of National Intelligence, it seems like they're shifting back from that strategy, a lot of those actors from that specific region of the world. And now they're looking to do something that would be shocking to the American people, whether that's the, an assassination of a former U.S. president or a former U.S. official. You know, they're not necessarily trying to create a caliphate at this moment. That didn't go so well for them. But if they can carry out one of these, again, extreme terrorist attacks to try and make themselves relevant again to the domestic U.S. audience.
It's also embarrassing for the United States to have this happen. It shows weakness, and it will have implications in other policy areas. I also believe that this open border, this callousness by the Biden administration to just allow people to jump in front of the lines, is really an attack on our career State Department officials. I ran Embassy Berlin. I can tell you that we have incredible people on the front line that are looking at the qualifications of individuals applying for visas to make sure they're not terrorists. Now, every once in a while, somebody can evade the system. That's going to be inevitable, and we have to work very hard to try to stop that. But nothing attacks the good system like a porous border. I have individuals who worked for me in Germany contacting me weekly saying, you can't believe what this border is doing and how many people are coming through Frankfurt and into Mexico. They know this and they won't stop it.
Rick, I want to go back to this China World Health Organization situation for a moment, and particularly in this context. The idea that we would cede any kind of domestic surveillance authority to a UN entity, specifically the WHO, is so troubling to me. And the fact that the Biden administration is even considering this as a possible option is outrageous.
Look, I do think that there's something that we can do at ACLJ. We can immediately petition T-Mobile and we can say, are you willing to turn over Americans' information to Deutsche Telekom when it comes to health information systems? It seems to me that we could look at the HIPAA law and try to figure out if that's a HIPAA violation, if it has anything to do with a global organization. But we can fight back, and I know great lawyers at ACLJ can do that. I hope people will support us so that we can actually have the resources to fight.
No, we're doing that. And Jordan, that's where ACLJ Action is coming in also. Both ACLJ, ACLJ Action, and our European Center for Law and Justice, all three entities.
Yeah, I mean, the ACLJ Action is set up as a C4 so that we can work with good corporations, but also go after bad corporations and corporations who may not realize what they've signed on to. And it'd be good to make sure, like Rick said, that those T-Mobile in the United States understands what their parent company has done and the ramifications that could have on their consumer base in the United States. The fact that they are okay with their parent company, okay with utilizing their data to track everyone in the world, and that would include you and everybody else in America, everybody listening to this broadcast, with your own personal QR code that you'll have to scan in to make sure you're compliant with your government's mandates and then also other countries' mandates if you travel.
I'll tell you, this is why we're fighting back. Go ahead, Rick. Go ahead.
Rick, you. As ambassador to Germany, I got to know the CEO of Deutsche Telekom. I think that maybe I should reach out and try to see if we, ACLJ, can get on the phone with him.
Great idea.
And tell our fears and the implications of his decision.
I think this is great. This is exactly why we have this team. We have, and by the way, folks, people like Rick Rennell, Mike Pompeo, part of the ACLJ team because of your support at ACLJ.org. Rick, thank you. ACLJ Action also, don't forget that. Brand new entity, off to a great start, doing great work. But your support is what makes all this possible. Coming up, Harry Hutchison, our Director of Policy, is going to join us. We're going to take your calls also at 1-800-684-3110, 800-684-3110. Back with more in a moment. Hey, welcome back to the broadcast, everyone. We're taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110. Our Director of Policy, Harry Hutchison, is joining us. I'm going to go right to the phones. Ren is calling us on line 2 in California. Go ahead. You're on the air.
Thank you, Jay, and everybody so much for taking this on.
Sure.
It's so important. And isn't it true that as we're speaking on May 22nd through the 28th, these amendments are already at the Geneva Council?
Yes.
And is there something that the ACLJ,
yes,
can do as this is happening? And would it not be also a good idea to contact McCarthy and McConnell and ask them to have a joint press conference saying nothing is going to happen in the United States government until Biden drops, okay, these amendments, and we and agrees that we will not give our sovereignty over to China like
that? So it is going over, and it's being discussed in Geneva right now. Our teams in Europe are working on that as well, Jordan. We need to point that out, which is our European Center for Law and Justice, and our, of course, ACLJ and ACLJ Action, and, of course, we're working on Capitol Hill.
Yeah, and Rena's right, and she actually predicted what's actually happening. House and Senate leaders are sending letters to the Biden administration on this. You know, where the biggest confusion lies is how much authority does this executive branch and the Biden administration have, or will they ultimately need to go to Congress? And, you know, there's a lot of goofiness there and overplaying between what is a treaty and what isn't a treaty, and if you're already into a treaty, what then powers the executive branch has. So that's the next step, is to make sure it's clear to the Biden administration that there is not congressional support for this action. And in fact, if it was to come before Congress as a treaty, it would be voted down. But that is our next step. The next step is they're going to propose these. You know, they don't act real quickly in these organizations. But I will tell you, Dad, what we are seeing, they're acting a lot quicker than they usually do. They usually take years. I feel like they've seized on a moment, and it's the pandemic moment. That is like the World Health Organization, like moment they've been waiting for, when one hit the Western world, and it wasn't just something that we saw in developing nations or some other continents far away. And once it did, it's like they've seen the amount of power they could have,
Yep.
and they're going to try and convince the American government to give it to them. But yep. The American people, and that's up to us, the American people have got to work with our elected officials to stop it.
Exactly right. Harry Hutchinson's our director of policy. Your sense of, first of all, this entire approach that's going on with WHO?
Well, it's a bit scary because essentially it's a power grab by globalist elites, and it is grounded first and foremost in surveillance. It's also grounded in denying American citizens their free speech rights. And so I fear ultimately, if this expands and grows, that we will have an international misinformation officer who will create a global ministry of truth, and that will limit our free speech rights. But I also think...
Is that because, Harry, because they can define health as anything?
Absolutely. So they've already defined climate change as health.
Right.
They've defined, in some quarters, racism as a health issue. So essentially, virtually anything that you and I do, we could go to the grocery store today, that potentially could affect our health. They've created a digital platform that would enable you and I to be tracked on our daily movements. And so you could imagine that if they want to reduce my global footprint, that they would monitor the number of donuts, for instance, I eat, the number of the pounds of meat that I eat. Why? Because potentially that affects my health, but it also, quote unquote, affects the global climate.
Yeah.
And so if it ties back into Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez's Green New Deal.
Yep.
And so it's all linked together. And so if you read Klaus Schwab's book on COVID and the Great Reset, this is essentially the direction that they are prepared to go.
I do want to say on the record, I've known you a long time. I've never seen you eat a donut. Do you like donuts?
No.
See, there you go. There you go. We got that right. All right, we're going to go ahead and take a phone call. Roger's calling in Oregon on line 3. A little levity in a very serious conversation. Go ahead.
Thank you, Jay. Hey, your previous caller brought the question regarding treaties to mind. That was my question.
Yeah.
So I'll go to my second question. So having a barcode somewhere on my body, how do you think this is, what is going to be, who's going to be enforcing this?
I don't know if it's not on your body necessarily. It's just it's going to be a data point of data gathering, right, Jordan?
Well, there's two things at play here. So with the Deutsche Telekom, they'd be using a QR code that you scan. So everybody in the world, that's their plan, would have a QR code that you scan and you say, okay, I took this vaccine or I took this shot next time there's a pandemic. So that's what they're planning. But Pfizer, their CEO was at Davos, and he announced that they've got a pill ready that would allow tracking with inside of it. So when you swallow the pill, it would send a notice to your government if it was you're in a country like that. Again, I think this violates so many U.S. laws. But the idea that they're even thinking that this is something good, and that it would then go to your government so that you would be on the good list. You took your medicine. You did what you were supposed to do. And so that technology is also being developed. Those are two separate things, but they are all being announced at the same time. So what is it to me, Dad? To me, it's all about control. And we know the Democrats, they have a tendency, more than a tendency, to, even though they kind of call us the fascist and use all those terms, they have a tendency towards socialism, which includes authoritarianism.
Right.
And so all these technologies that could be used for good, yep, they are also using them for all the worst things we could possibly imagine, like tracking us.
Yeah. So, Harry, you and I talked about that before we went on air. That's what the overreach here is so easy just because of the loose definitions.
Absolutely. And they are continuing to expand the definition. They're expanding the definition of health, for instance. 20, 30 years ago, no one thought about race in connection with health.
Right.
Or racism. But now that's part of the calculus. But if you again turn to Klaus Schwab, he has been working on this for decades. And they are beginning to celebrate something that ties into what Jordan has said, and that is a form of transhumanism, that each of us would have a monitoring device, ultimately implanted voluntarily or perhaps by force. I don't think they've announced that yet. But then it could affect our own DNA. And so I think ultimately that is the objective of these individuals who are trying to think outside of the box. Yeah. And I would also...
It's a very dangerous box.
It is a very dangerous box. And Yuval Noah Harari, an Israeli, he has outlined the future, and it's not good for the human race.
Yeah, the technology issues can be great. They can be damaging. And in the wrong hands, like the Chinese Communist Party... they would be damaging. And that, Jordan, and that's, again, we've got all these entities now operating exactly on point for this moment.
Yeah, we utilized ACLJ Action to really do the deep dive on WHO that you were all asking for, because I knew that at ACLJ Action, I had two former executive branch officials who were very much used to this agency power and treaty power and could dive right in and then work with our attorneys at ACLJ to compare notes and put it all together so that the information that we share with you today and as we move forward with WHO is 100% accurate, regardless of what the social media censors say. What you hear on this program is truth. Support the work of ACLJ Action. We're growing our membership out. It's cost $25 to join. You can donate and become a member at ACLJ Action.org.